our humblest pranams at the divine lotus feet of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, everyone, and Sai Ram to you all.
Sai Ram!
Sai Ram!
Sai Ram!
Sai Ram!
Okay, I can feel the blood going a little bit better now. What's that? We have a little bit of a problem here? Yeah, it's fine.
Is this on?
It's a pleasure to be here. It's really a privilege. It's an enormous obligation because what an act to follow. Sharon, you're dancing. I'm going to not even try to do that. And Sam, stories are legendary. What an inspiration you both are to the world of Sai devotees and furthermore to the world of people who are yet to discover the beauty and the purity of Satya Sai Baba. I want to thank you, Rao, our longtime friend, and Rao and Radha were present at our wedding 11 years ago, coming up in a week or so. Thank you very much for those kind words, and I want to thank also for the invitation for us to be here. Venkat Uncle. Am I right in calling Venkat Uncle if he's younger than I am? Somehow, I still think of him as Venkat Uncle.
I think that's because he's very much a mentor.
He is a mentor.
A spiritual mentor.
And that's what we're going to be talking about. The people in our lives, and we know them. In fact, they're here among us today. We're looking at you, who are mentors, exhibit these qualities of egolessness, of deep compassion, and absolute humility, all covered over by their ceaseless love. And whoever walks towards me, or past me, or casts a glance at me, I refer to as auntie and uncle, because they are my leaders in life. Thank you, and Hadi also, or Hadi's here somewhere, for the kind invitation for Jody and me to come and have an opportunity to speak before you. Our initial reaction was, they want us to come and give a talk. We didn't know you wanted us to come and give 6 talks. We didn't read the fine print in the literature until just a short time before we came here. So let me just say a couple of words about that. But before we move on, I want to tell Sam and Sharon again how uplifting their talk was on many, many levels. But particularly at the very beginning, how many of you, in addition to myself, caught one of the key phrases or two that Sam said? He said it, and I quoted him here. We're living in such a dark age. Have you ever thought of the fact that we are living in a dark age? People would kill you if they heard you say that you are God. Powerful, powerful words. Couldn't be more accurate. I would have never thought of expressing it quite that way before. It all points to the fact that we have a huge role to play in our lives as devotees of Sri Satya Sai Baba. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And just a brief overview before I'm going to kick things off by giving the microphone entirely to Jody. Today we're going to be speaking about what you see here in big letters. It's time to think big. And I just want to say this several times throughout the next several days because it's a message that really has to sink into everybody. It certainly has already come to us. Why think big now? I'll give you one good reason why we should think big now. Sri Satya Sai Baba, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, by his own words, is leaving us from his human form in 12 years. What does that mean to you who are teenagers? Not much. That's an eternity from now. From you who are in your 20s, 12 years? Not much. That's half an eternity from now. But I guarantee you, for those of us who have been in our 50s and are in our 60s or in our 70s or beyond, 12 years is... That's how fast 12 years is going to go by. He's already withholding himself and withdrawing himself from our form. Sam and Sharon just talked about their most recent visit to see his diminishing presence, physical presence in our presence. And it's the duty call, it's the rallying call of the day for us to think big because we have to. We have to begin to feel like we're in control of filling the gap that's going to be created with his physical removal from our presence. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the item called disciples. It's pretty much a Christian term, and briefly, it's sort of like chala, which means we're followers of a teacher, but we have teachings from the teacher to spread ourselves, and it's a very important role that we're going to be explaining tomorrow. And I have a video tomorrow to show you to help understand a little bit about what we're talking about. In the workshops, it's going to be based on welcoming Seva, and then on Monday morning, what I think is perhaps the most important talk is the one that we're going to be giving on mentoring, which is all about Jody's vision that she's had since the day I met her about the important role that we all have to be mentors to one another, and to especially those people who are yet to find out or even hear Sai Baba's name. So it's time for us to think big, coming from a big boy, as Rao described me.
And as
Swami called me, for all the wrong reasons, I suspect. But I live up to that. I'm going to turn it over to a big woman, Jody. Oh.
I never thought I'd hear that.
This is very loud.
Big in all the right ways. They'll take care of it. You just talk.
Okay. Thank you. This has come to us both personally, interiorly, and as an exterior message from Prashanti. As well, it comes through reason and observation, and it's coming to all of you, I know. It's time. Swami said to us about 9 years ago, during an interview, Ted said, "Swami, I want to be the one to take your name to the West." And Swami, you know, this was Mr. Ego at the time. And Swami said, "I don't want name, take my love to the West." But later he said to Ted privately, "My time is now." That was about 9 years ago. It is now. Isaac told us at Christmas time that Swami is talking now with Isaac about building his own samadhi. This is sobering, and to hear that he's slumping in his chair is disturbing. We who visit him yearly or frequently or even infrequently see that he is visibly receding from us in the form. It is the clarion call to duty. We have to receive it with joy. The quote that you read so beautifully, Sharon, the awake quote to the students, saying that if we don't do this now, that we're so gifted that that the rishis and sages are not as gifted as we. It is our time. This is Satyasai Baba's time. It is our time to relinquish the petty cures and promotions, trinkets and trash that we have always wanted from him. Yeah, I still want a ring. We all do. I still worry about exactly where I might get to sit in darshan. I'm going to give it up. It's meaningless. It's now our time, as John F. Kennedy said so many years ago, to think about what we can do for him. He's done for us. He has given us himself. He's given us all his teachings. At this point, he's simply repeating. He's given us his grace beyond all measure. It's our turn. We're to be... Our lives are to be his message. It's time to pick up the banner and be leaders of the dawning golden age. And it's a huge privilege. It's very exciting. And what better thing have we to do? Or our children. Our children will be the leaders of the golden age. It's overwhelming. We also believe, and the word disciples means more to us who were reared as Christians, I think, than it might mean to the rest of you. Webster defines it as students of a teacher. But Jesus, Jesus chose disciples, and that term is used for his disciples. They were people who lived in his time, whom he chose personally, whom he called to him personally, and we're told Sai Baba calls us to him personally. As Sam pointed out very clearly, they can hear of him, and it doesn't pierce. It does not always make sense to them. We, in this room, heard of him and fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. He's called us. Not only were Jesus' disciples alive with him and called personally by him, but they continued his work and spread his word after his death, after he's left his body. Well, we don't know exactly when he left his body, but they continued his work throughout their lives. And we're called to do that. So in order to do that, we have to change our mindset. I think that we have to begin to assume a new orientation, a new responsibility, and a new concept of who we are. We are no longer lowly chela. We are, with love, we are divine. With love, we are his representatives. With love, we are spreading his word, his style of life, and changing the world. It's time to think big. Get into it. It's the wave of the future. We don't really have a choice.
Jordy and I have occasionally had disagreements on this subject or that subject. Rarely do we have disagreements on matters of spirituality. But we have a disagreement on one particular matter, and it pertains specifically to what we're talking about, our need to think big as devotees in Sai Baba, our role as teachers. She doesn't like that word assigned to herself. She rebels against it because she wants to think of herself perennially, as many of us do, and as I certainly do too, as a student of Baba's love and Baba's mission in this world today. But the fact is, to be thinking big and to be a mentor means you must also be a teacher. But you can be a teacher in many ways, including passively. The way in which we live our lives is teaching to everyone around us the values of Sai Baba. So I throw that word in there too because I think it's so very, very pertinent. We must also become teachers so that people can observe your beliefs. They observe them with the tone of your voice, with the way you glance your eyes in their direction and establish eye contact, the smile on your face, the patience you exhibit in the presence of another person who's telling you their plight. All of these are parts and methods of teaching Baba's love. And one day, they're going to be curious enough, I guarantee you this, to simply ask you, how are you so calm? From whom, from what, from where does your love come? And you'll have an opening. And even if that day never comes with everybody in your path, they will still learn from you nonetheless as a profound teacher of Sai Baba's love. Go ahead. We're going to the next slide now, which has to do with really thinking big. I mean, you know, we toss this around. What does Sai mean when he says to think big? Now, we're not talking about Sai Baba. We're talking about a dear friend of ours and a dear friend of yours. How many people here know Sai Monacum? Sai Monacum was the president of the Cleveland Sai chapter for a long time. He's become as solid as a rock in our lives. He speaks softly, but he carries a big stick. His wallop is mighty. We had the chance to meet with him just recently again in Columbus for lunch, over which he told us in no uncertain terms, Jody and Ted, it's time to think big. He said it far more loving than that, but he said it very strongly. It's really time to think big. So when we started discussing this, what loftier goal is there for you in this time frame called your human existence today here in Greater Chicago to think about going for moksha? That's almost as big as it gets. Some would argue with that. There are loftier goals. But it's pretty big. And we say this because it's our opportunity to go for moksha and because we know of people who are already there. And there are some quotes around this that we're going to talk about now, and Jody's going to comment on them as I read them, because they really have to do with how the signs have preceded us that really point the way to the fact that we must think bigger than our human capacity teaches us to think.
As it's come to me that it's time for us all to step up to the plate as leaders, it came to me that it's on a personal level we have to go for moksha now. That this is not beyond us, that this is in fact the opposite of beyond us. This is our opportunity. This is the opportunity for our souls. Just as the, I can't remember whether it was the quote you read, Sharon, or the fellow, the student that was interviewed, who said that if you miss this opportunity, it could be thousands of years, something like that. I was unable to find that in any of the books of Swami's quotes, but we all know that he said that in interviews and that he tells us that this is our soul's big opportunity. It seems when I think of moksha for me in this lifetime, it seems unreachable. Yet, do I have a choice but to go for it now? Isn't this what I'm being told by the avatar, the Purna avatar? Why should I shrink from it? Why should we? We need to do this. We need to rise to this challenge on a personal level and think big. And as well as globally, which we'll talk about in a moment. And Ted, go ahead.
Here are some of the arrows pointing in that direction, and they've been around us for years. Many of us have seen them and consider them lightly, but they're really to be considered at a very profound level, I think. First quote, and Jody's going to have a comment on this, from Sai Glory, page 14. Let me just read it for you quickly. There is life throughout the universe, for creation is endless. There is life throughout the universe, for creation is endless. In all of the universe, there is no other planet that has human life or similar life form. Rebirth could never be in other regions of the universe. All life may aspire to human birth, but the human birth is the only opportunity to obtain both full realization of the divine and the escape from the cycle of birth and death. And only on Earth may this take place. In no other planet or region throughout the indescribable vastness of the universe, of the cosmos, does this opportunity exist. It is unique.
So not only have we been given the opportunity as human beings, but we're here with the Purna avatar. There's really no choice here. We've got to go for it.
I'm going to get to the second quote in a second, but my comment on this would only be, and I'm sure if we had the time, I'd love to hear all of your comments. I'm sure we'd come up with 500 different views on this. Mine is that we live life on plateaus and cycles, and career cycles, householder, parent, retired person. The cycles never end. I've often looked back on my own life and I've seen the plateaus that I've landed on as being very meaningful to me, because who doesn't like to have a career? Who doesn't like to have a successful marriage? Who doesn't like to have children and the opportunity to grow? They have a beginning and a middle and an end. Some of them aren't so happy the way they end. They're all plateaus that we have the opportunity to learn our true identity from as we become Psi students. So it begs the question, what's the plateau that you're on today? I know how to describe my plateau in one mundane word. It's called retirement. I finally got to the point where I can afford to retire. And I'm glad I'm there. But it's the very beginning of the most important role of my life. We all have duty and jobs, no matter what our workstation is. Sam was referring to, he gets to play psychiatrist during the day, and then he gets to be Baba's student during the rest of the day. And that's really true for me in my station now, because when Jody was asked, I think initially by me, and I repeated it a dozen times, where she is in her life, She described it this way. This is the end of my life. I'm going to be 64 in a couple of weeks. Jody's going to be, I probably shouldn't say it, 63. And in our mid-60s, this is the end of our life. Does it mean that we're going to perish our bodily form in the next 24 hours? I hope not. I don't think so. We've got bigger fish to fry still. We're considering having a lengthy end of our life, but nonetheless, this is the time. And we've been thinking about it furthermore since before retirement. So this is the event in our life that we want to contemplate more than anything else. And thanks to Baba, we're given the opportunity now, called time, in which to do it more thoroughly than we might have before. The second quote is from Sai Baba and Moksha, page 8. Among God's creations, birth as a human being is a rare gift given with the purpose of securing permanent release from worldly bondage. It is in this life that he can associate with God's messengers and saintly men. You want to talk on that? All right. The next quote, also from page 8, is, never before in the history of humankind has such a great wealth of spiritual wisdom come to man naturally and spontaneously, thanks to the all-merciful God, come in the human form of Sri Satya Sai Baba.
And from the same source, the next quote we have is, a chance missed in one lifetime may cost many more lives, because the objects of material world have irresistible charm and power and push man down the ladder. We have personal experience and a friend, a close friend, who has information directly from Sai Baba that, and this is a gentleman whom I hold in really the highest regard, the highest regard. He was told that if he doesn't make moksha in this lifetime, it will take him 17 more lifetimes. And this astounds me. This really is a motivating urge for all of us. He's here today. He knows who he is. And I want him to know that he's a great inspiration. If a fellow of his caliber would take 17 more lifetimes, I better get moving. We all better get moving.
My lesson from that is, if one person anywhere in this universe, in this world of 6.5 billion people, can hear from Baba the message that if he doesn't achieve moksha now, he's got 17 more births and rebirths to go through, then how much does that apply to the rest of us 6.5 billion people? Maybe the one thing that sets us apart from a lot of people, not that we're special, not that we're better off on any level, is our degree of awareness of what Baba's desire is for us. So in this gentleman's case, it's crystal clear. His every second, awake and sleeping, is devoted to that sole purpose, as should mine. Is mine? No, far cry from it. But with intention, well, much of the time, but with intention, I can do more. And I look forward to learning from the teachers who are here on exactly how we can do more in order to achieve this. But again and again, the message comes. It's a clarion call. Wake up.
Think big.
Think big. Did you get the last quote there? There was another quote too, Jody, that you were going to describe, and we couldn't find it verbally. We couldn't find the actual reference, but I'll just begin it, and then you sort of paraphrase it. Swami's quote that the Puna avatar comes with his army of teachers.
Maybe someone can help me here, because, or maybe Baba has only said it in interview, but I think we've all heard that Baba says that he's come with his army, that every avatar comes with his army of helpers, the saints and sages of ancient masters, reincarnated masters, are here now in the flesh to help the rest of us, and that they're populated among us, probably many in this room. And when I'm at Prajanti, I get a strong sense of it. and feel that I'm among them. And so we... Yikes. So we have those people as helpers as well. If anybody knows where I can find that quote or that information directly from Baba's mouth, I'd like to know. Is there anyone who...
Yes, go ahead.
We've all heard it.
Okay.
You have it on audio, in Baba's words?
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Maybe you'll send it to us, because we'd love to have it. He has it on audio tape somewhere at home.
Wonderful.
And I think this is not going to be the last time we're going to have need of quotes like that. Because...
Great, thank you.
Even if we're never asked to share these thoughts with anybody else ever again, we need to continue to remind ourselves of the significance of them. That the Puna Avatark comes with an army of helpers. And the army is here. You are the army. And I think it's high time you believe that. Many of the Psi family members that we've had the enormous privilege to meet throughout the years have already left us in bodily form, and they are clearly there now, especially. But they were also there before they left us. And, you know, Jody has so much to offer because of her deep down devotion to Baba, which has taught me so much, and it also has a lot to do with bringing people to Baba who are yearning for him but don't know his name and have never laid eyes on his form. I'll just say it that quickly and that succinctly. What do I have to offer? Really little. You know, I'm a trained journalist. I just retired from 40 years, 38 years at the same television station. I've done maybe 10,000 interviews in my life, but very few have been about such a lofty subject, and almost none about Sai Baba in a commercial sense, because I've heeded his warning to me and kept his name, for the most part, off the airways of the ABC television station in Cleveland, where I've called home for so many decades now. But among those people who are devotees, we have met people who, if they weren't at Moksha at the day we interviewed them, they were a hair away because of the symptoms that they exhibited every single time we ever laid eyes on them, their egolessness, their deep sense of conviction and love and humility. And among those people that I have on videotape are people that I met right here in, not in this room, but where the retreat was held in Chicago a good number of years ago, closer to the center of the city. And that's Don Mario Mazzolini. Remember him? Remember the wonderful, wonderful talk he gave here? One of the most stirring talks I think I've ever heard in my life. The former Catholic priest who just for many years loved Baba's message and Baba's purpose for being here. And shortly before he died, in fact, the weekend of that retreat, I took him back to my hotel room and did a video interview with him. And in the middle of that interview, I sensed I was in the presence of somebody who was on a different planet already. Also with Dorothy O'Brien of the famous Pink Twins. There was a character, if I've ever met a character before in my life, and she really exuded the exact same qualities. Shivangani, Dolly Bailey, our dear friend who left us way too soon from Midland, Michigan, who in a brief 7 years have never laid eyes on Swami's form or heard his name before, came hook, line, and sinker to the level that she had control, understanding, and deep perception of our purpose far greater than almost anybody else alive I knew at the time. And she's still a teacher to us. And of course, Dr. Gaudia, whom I've had the pleasure of talking to and interviewing and videoing and hearing his story over and over again about the influence of Swami lifting him from lifelessness back to life just so that he could continue to spread his message.
These are just examples of saints among us that we, you know, we interact with. These particular saints have left, you know, their bodies at the moment, but they're still among us, and they were, and there are more. So take advantage of it. We're very, very fortunate. We're living in the holiest of times. This is it. This is the big opportunity. This is it. As well, globally, we know that Baba wants us to think big globally and regionally as well. And one of the reasons we know this is that Phyllis called us recently, Phyllis Crystal, who now lives in Switzerland. And she's a very close friend. She's amazing. Talk about wonderful saints among us. Phyllis is 96. Baba told her last summer to move from Germany to Switzerland, which she just did.
And didn't tell her why. 96-year-old woman living alone, being told by Sai Baba to move to Switzerland. Move to Switzerland. What's your reaction? What would your reaction be? Okay, Swami.
She did it. Moved alone, has no friends there, doesn't speak Schweizerdeutsch. She's there. Anyway, she called and said she had had a vision for our region of the United States. She said that we're supposed to tell all of this region of the United States about it. Jody and Ted, you're supposed to tell your half of the United States about this vision. Ted, can you talk and I'll get the prop going?
Okay, and maybe we can go to the picture too, the first picture if it's there. Many of you are familiar with Phyllis Crystal and her wonderful books and her wonderful presence. I'm sure she's been to Chicago a dozen times. We've had her in our home and she's been to Cleveland to give various talks, and I've followed her around the East Coast in order to really capture the essence of her message and not just her love for Swami. She talks about the maypole. Well, Jody's got a maypole in her hands. Not everybody in this room is familiar with the concept of what a maypole is. So look at the maypole that Jody has, and you might notice somebody's familiar picture at the top of Jody's maypole too. While you also look at the picture depicting what a maypole looks like, the way it's supposed to be used. Well, they're used by children. We're all children of God. We're all Sai's children. We are the children, and we're going to be really learning how we can grow as children towards a greater understanding of Baba's message for us. And one came through crystal clear, you know, through Phyllis Crystal, so to speak. And this is a little complicated, but what she said that was so urgent for me to hear, because she wanted to share it, was that, you know, I've spent decades talking about the therapeutic emotional work and spiritual work done with the concept of a maypole. Well, it's come to me from Baba that I'm supposed to take a maypole and visualize on top of that maypole another maypole. I'm like, okay, Phyllis, you lost me there. Another maypole on top of the one that she uses for her work, where as we hold onto the ribbons of the maypole and we visualize Baba at the top of the maypole, we ask for his enlightenment. We ask for his healing, for his light, and for his ways of teaching us to be better human beings in this Sai avatar age. And then she said the second maypole on top of the initial one was to take this work, Ted, to a much higher universal level. And it's the maypole on top of the world, whose strands come down to individual countries. In the case of the United States, there are two ribbons. And the two come, one to the west, one's going to be in Sam and Sharon's neck of the woods soon, and one to the east. So here we are in the Midwest, representing the eastern part of the country, and we're taking our ribbon, as she instructed us to do, and we're bringing it to you people in Chicago today so that we can use this to help solve and enlighten us, not just at a personal one-on-one level, but more importantly now during this dark age that we're living in, this new dark age that we're living in, at a global level as well. So we've got a slide here also of the world, and it's probably not as useful as the maypole, but in a way it can be useful, because in that little planet floating out there in the middle of space, which we're on for the ride of our lifetime right now, we have to find our role. And our role is including the mundane of the life that we live every day, our jobs and our children and their problems and the disease and the heart sick and the emotional pain, all the baggage we bring with us, all the physical ailments that surround us in our neighborhood, in our own homes, in our own families, extended families. But we're supposed to find also the way to think bigger. And this is really timely. I have no doubt whatsoever that this is Baba speaking to us through Phyllis. You explain this one. This is the one that's to us. This is the main maypole that's over the top of the country, of the world. And this particular shard comes to the people in the Midwest, in the eastern half of the United States. This one is specifically for all of us here in this room today. And I think, go ahead. Hold on.
This is one of the ribbons of the maypole, but you can see it has its own tentacles. And each of these goes to a state in the eastern half of the United States. And imagine, Ted's going to do a visualization dictated by Phyllis in her vision. Sorry, dictated by Baba through Phyllis to all of us to visualize a ribbon going to each state in the eastern part of the United States. These ribbons go to each country in the world. And you see who's at the helm. Okay.
Do I know who's at the helm?
Do you have the...
Yes, I do. But it just dawned on me that we may have overlooked one part of our program, and that was, did the ribbons get distributed to the people?
Yes.
They did. Does everybody have a ribbon? Okay, everybody's got one ribbon. A few people up here don't have a ribbon. And while those ribbons are being passed out, we're going to invite you to join with us in a guided meditation, perhaps, because it's a meditation that comes from Baba through Phyllis to us, to you, and from us to you, to beyond, to many other people. So this is going to take a couple of minutes, and I want you to get comfortable in your seats because we're going to be invited to close our eyes and to think about what's important in just a minute or so. There's going to be a little music that enters into our meditation as well. Not yet, but when it does, don't let it disturb you. Just let it add to your meditation. And one of the purposes of this form of maypole spiritual meditation that Phyllis learned from Baba is for us to visualize how we can serve as well.
Are there any other little ones who want to come up?
Little ones are invited to come up. If there's any more in the room here, I think there's one or two. Or anybody else who wants to. Actually, we've got not much room up here, so let's just continue with this exercise if we might. So I'm giving you an overview. I'm giving you an overview of what we're going to ask of you to do. So first of all, be prepared to close your eyes and meditate for a second. Secondly, relax yourselves, make yourself comfortable in your chairs. And thirdly, at the end of the meditation, if any of you, in fact, has a visualization that you wouldn't mind sharing with us, very, very briefly, because our time is very limited, I'm going to ask you to do that, and I'll bring the microphone to you. If a visualization comes to you, these are not really controlled circumstances. This is not really a wonderful environment in order to do this where we're quiet, because I know how I am when I'm at a workshop, when I'm at a seminar. But Baba can do amazing things under unnatural circumstances. So just put your heart where your mind is right now and let your heart take over. So I invite you to close your eyes and to become quiet as much as you can. We're going to practice this for maybe several minutes as I keep mindful of our allotted time here. With your eyes closed, join me in imagining or visualizing a maypole firmly rooted in the earth. Baba at the very top of the maypole. Imagine different colored ribbons attached at the top of the pole and flowing down and into the earth, into each of the many, many countries in this incredible planet. It is as if energy from Baba were flowing down each of the many ribbons and lighting up each country in the world, so that the world is flooded with light and energy, and that all darkness becomes dispelled. And how very timely to hear Sam Sanwise talk about the darkness that surrounds us today. This energy makes it possible for everyone in all countries to receive greater insights, clearer awareness, healing of all kinds. And now, if you will, visualize the ribbon coming directly from Baba to you, where you sit at this very moment in time. And visualize now our ribbon, which has been dedicated to the eastern half of the United States. And deep in our hearts now, ask Sri Satya Sai Baba to send us and the world healing and any other needed help to the eastern half of the United States, to our own families, of course, and to the world, to the nearly 7 billion of us, and to all sentient beings everywhere, and to all living creatures everywhere, everywhere, even beyond our world. Now we'll spend just a few minutes in silence and contemplation. Maybe 2 moments from now, 2 minutes from now, you'll hear a little music. Continue with your eyes closed for another couple of minutes until I tell you to open your eyes. Sai Ram.
There's a time when we should heed a certain cause, 'cause the world, it seems, is right in this line. 'Cause there's a chance for taking in needing our own lives. It seems we need nothing at all. Dying there, and it showed that we was heeding his stare. We
Well, I cheated. I opened my eyes, and about 20 seconds into the song, I was glancing down, and all I could see were these smiling faces of these young people holding onto these ribbons, wondering what it is that we're asking for as we hold on to our ribbons that Baba brings to us, that we have a chance to really visualize the healing, the love, the gifts that we need to expand our own capabilities so that we can pass on to these children here the chance for a brighter future, for a better world, for a brighter day, especially with peoples becoming more and more aware of Baba's principal message of love, that there is only one religion, the religion of love.
Phyllis tells us that with the maypole meditation, many people receive explicit pictures, words from Baba, messages. If anyone did that today, please share with us.
We see one back here. You know, I've got a portable mic, and I'm just going to run back real quickly, and maybe as I see this lady who's
thank you,
very Tom, graciously raised her hand immediately, that maybe it'll inspire a few others to raise your hands. Whatever visualizations, whatever image, whatever message came to you, very briefly, we would like to hear it.
Sairam, I was thinking about the maypole and holding the ribbon, and the thought crossed my mind, I don't belong to any state here. My homeland is India. We have come to live here with our children because of health reasons. And then suddenly, Swami seems to say, this is the homeland. That is why this whole concept of the maypole is introduced. You are in a territory, but you are not in a foreign country. So come home, to make you to come home. That is the whole purpose. My love, my blessing, my grace. That's what I felt.
God bless you, and Sairam, and thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Anybody else have an image? Rao, I'm going to run over here through these gentlemen if they allow me to be. Yes.
As I held this ribbon in my hand, and I was focused on Swami, and it appeared like this ribbon was becoming bigger and bigger and bigger with no end, nonstop. And the message I got from Swami was, let this ribbon be the flow of love throughout the world, and let your hands be, let you be the instrument to flow this love to each and everyone you come across.
That's so wonderful. I can't tell you how happy this is going to make Phyllis, because I don't think she had any idea that anybody was going to run with this as quickly as we have. Yep.
Sairam, I've done some work for several years, Phyllis Crystal's work, and I always found that the visualizing techniques were somewhat difficult, and I know that there's probably other people in that envelope as well. I'm a young physician, and I share a lot of unorthodox techniques with some of my patients, and I will tell you, for those of you who have difficulty with visualizing, there's a method called the Sedona method, and I'm inspired to share that with you because it's helped so many of my patients and myself as well. And if you do this, this is more of an auditory technique, and then it allows a more natural visualization to occur. So I thought I'd share that with you because it's helped myself and many others as well. Sairam.
Sairam. And we will look you up after the sessions to learn how to do that specifically too. And I did see another hand back here. Been a couple of hands. And we have a few minutes. This young boy, really? Hari, we'll come to you right after we come to these two gentlemen. Yes.
I was drawing a blank. I was just holding the ribbon. I was drawing a total blank.
Well, we'll see if we can do something about that, because there's another reason why you're holding that ribbon, and we'll come to that in just a second. Thank you for your contribution. Yes.
Sairam, to all of you, I saw from the eastern half of the United States, 7 billion ribbons flowing, one overflowing the other. And the next moment I saw all the ribbons moving towards the top of the maypole. And then it ends in a dot. And that dot becomes truth. And truth is beauty, truth is love, truth is everything.
Wow.
Ted, behind you.
Oops, I'm sorry. Way back here. Last row, second to the last person. But certainly not last.
What I saw was when my eyes were closed, that Swami was so tall and he was standing from the ground to the top of this maypole. So, and the ribbons were flying all over around him. Wonderful. Thank you.
Wow. And I have to tell you, this doesn't just come from a creative, imaginative Sai devotee who loves Baba. This comes from a fellow psychiatrist, Sam. So in psychiatry that's based on science, we find Baba as well. Yes. Oh Haru.
Yes, Ted, I do want to say something.
I was waving
to Rashmi, but okay. I do want to say something. I would like to say to everyone here that it's interesting to me that Sai Baba has Is it coming? Okay. That the message has come through Phyllis from Baba to, as he said, Ted and Jody. And I asked her, did he say Ted and Jody? She said yes. To get this crowd and all of our Sai friends to bring light through the maypole to the United States, to the eastern part of the United States. Well, as I look around, there aren't a whole lot of people here who lived their whole life in the United States like I did, like Sharon did, like Ted did, like Sam did. But I feel that you are a gift to this country, that you are a tremendous gift for which I am so grateful to Swami to bring you here for all of us, and that you are helping to bring light to this country and He knows we need it.
I second that. Thank you for the gift that you are to our country. Hari.
Sai Ram, this is probably the first time in my life I actually saw Swami and everyone around me. Yesterday, Dr. Sandwise was asking me when I work, when I see patients, are there times when I actually visualize Swami? And I was telling him, I never differentiate between visualization and just thinking of Swami. To me, both are one, and I'm always Swami is always in me, what am I doing? I never think of, am I actually seeing visual Swami? And as this exercise was going on, this is probably the first time I'm looking around in this vision, everyone around me, the driver, the bus driver, person walking next to me, it's all Swami. Swami's driving the car, Swami's driving the bus, Swami's walking next to me. Everyone around me is just Swami.
Well, that gives me goosebumps. Yes, sir.
You hit the jackpot.
How far I am relevant or not, I don't know. But as I see, apart from the visions, in the picture, earth there, whether it is my illusion or not, I don't know. I see the Swami's figure there with hand like this. Is everybody seeing that or not? I would like to know. I am clearly seeing Swami's face looking at me with hand stretched like this. He is seeing a view of global view or not, I don't know. This is my perception.
Would you like to come up, sir, and point that out?
Whether that's an illusion or a vision, it doesn't make any difference to me that you've been given this opportunity is what this exercise is about. So again, you're seeing his left hand extended, depicted by the clouds over the earth. Thank you. And I want to say one thing about what Hari said too. This is a first for him. Well, for this gentleman back here, who's never had a visualization of any kind in his life, nor have I. This is new to me. You know, I'm wondering what is in the Kool-Aid when Phyllis tells us to drink it from time to time. But it's really true, because I know so many people who have these heartfelt connections that come from a variety of sources, including a simple act of visualization. Maybe we have time for one or two more. If I thought I saw a hand over on the woman's side. Yes, there's one, real quick. And it's not something that comes naturally or easily for a lot of us, but it is well worth pursuing. And I have a feeling you're going to tell us something interesting.
Well, Sairam, everyone. I never did a visualization. Yes. Thank you.
Sairam.
I never did a visualization exercise, but I followed instructions. And my heart just flowed into it. And I could actually see the world and this maypole and all these beautiful ribbons and people holding them. And it was just love, love. And it just brought to mind that what Baba says, the only thing that's going to heal the world is our love. And that's what I saw, and it was just so powerful. Thank you.
Thank you. Makia is relatively new to the Sci-Fold. I met her here 3 or 4 years ago, and her lasting ringing endorsement of this divine presence in our lives is the statement that she said over and over again, "He is here. He is here. He is here now." And it's immortalized on a wonderful video, parts of which you're going to see tomorrow, and I'll have more news about Makia. Markia's message is going to be available to everybody.
I saw a vision. Swami was there with his hand like that, like he usually does, and light was flowing out of it and falling on all of us.
How wonderful. Yes.
Sairam, everybody. Just like as another person said, I did see Swami actually standing real tall. He was actually reaching the skies, and actually all the ribbons, I saw 10,000 hands of Swami. The ribbons actually turned into his hands, and he was holding on to each one of us. And what I felt was he was lifting us from this earth and taking him to his level. And after that, I saw all of us merging into him. And doing that, I saw 10,000 pigeons actually just flew away from him, and he's telling each one of us, come back to me. And as he was doing that, that light, that dark clouds above him just moved, and such a huge, huge rays of light just fell upon the whole earth. It was a beautiful, and even when Ted said it's over, I just couldn't open my eyes because I didn't want to come back. I just wanted to be there. Sarah.
We're going to wrap up now, and if we could have just a little bit more of that music as we wrap up. We have about 5 minutes left, I'm being told. And if anything in the business of broadcasting, I've learned to be punctual. You've all touched my heart in such a way that I can't tell you.
I take it that we're on the right track.
We must be on the right track
with
this.
From your wonderful reaction. Thank you.
These stories are so amazing that a psychiatrist would have a field day with them, except psychiatrists here shared in the visions of Baba and the help and the love that's being sent to all of us. So as the music plays this out a little bit, I'm going to turn it over to Jody to tell you what to do with the ribbons in your hand.
Well, we want you to take the ribbon and tie it on the finger of the person next to you, and make sure that everybody has someone who will do that for him or her.
You might have to do it for yourself if you're at the very end, but tie it on the finger of the person next to you.
No, no one can do it for themselves.
Come on, Radha. Go ahead, just tie it on the finger of the person closest to you.
Go for it, you guys. This may be the only ring from Sai Baba that we'll ever have.
did you hear that? Talk about our petty wishes and desires and needs and petitions to Baba. You've just had one granted. This may be the only ring from Baba we ever receive. I want to thank you all very much for this present, for this opportunity. And for the last 30 seconds or so, we're just going to let the music go full tilt. And we look forward to meeting you tomorrow and this afternoon in the workshops. God bless you one and all. Think big. Think big.